Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. So thankful for the love of Christ this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's Word. If we're physically able to stand, we're going to begin in verse number 7. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 7. The Bible says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I'd like for you to notice in verse number 15, once again, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." And I want to bring you a message this morning simply entitled, "Gloriously Thankful." Gloriously thankful. Father, please help today, teach us, encourage us. Father, I pray that there might even be some whose perspectives and attitudes will change because of what we see here this morning. Father, we need your help. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for the treasure that we have because of your grace. And Father, because of that, we ought to have a consistent and constant spirit of thankfulness. Father, we commit these next few moments to you. We're going to ask that you'll bless them in a special way. And we'll be careful right at this very moment to give you praise, honor, glory, and thanks for anything that you do in our midst today. Father, I do pray if there might be one or two or maybe even several here today without Christ, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I pray for believers who walked in these doors with a spirit of complaining, a spirit of pity party. Father, I pray that we'd leave with a different spirit, a different perspective. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for it. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. Paul was who he was. He lived how he lived. He endured what he endured. He preached how he preached because of and for the glory of God. I want you to take your Bibles and hold your place here in 2 Corinthians 4. We'll be right back. But I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 if we could. And we're going to read a pretty sizable section here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I say it again. Paul was who he was. He lived how he lived. He endured what he endured. He preached how he preached because of and for the glory of God. The word glory means splendor. It means magnificence. It means brightness. It means excellence. It means preeminence. It means the kingly majesty of the Messiah. The Scriptures make it abundantly clear that every Christian may live victoriously no matter the situations in which we may find ourselves if our hearts are fixed upon the Savior and that which is eternal, and not fixed upon self and that which is temporal. If anyone could have meditated upon the negative, it was the Apostle Paul. If anyone could have thrown a giant pity party, it was most definitely the Apostle Paul. However, that is never the case, because Paul consistently gave God his due glory and consistently looked toward the eternal instead of fixating upon the temporal. So here's the simple question and the simple provocation for us at Maranatha Baptist Church this morning. Do we praise or do we pout? Do we sing or do we sulk? Do we minister or do we mope? Do we continue or do we capitulate? Do we glory or do we gripe? And by the way, every single one of those is a choice. Every single one of us has the choice to do either or. And so this morning I want to bring you a message entitled Gloriously Thankful. And I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want us to show us three truths that we find in this passage, or three different things, and I don't like to use that word things because it's so generic, but three different truths that we find that we can be gloriously thankful for this morning. Number one, gloriously thankful, and if you have a bulletin, the outline is on the back. Gloriously thankful, number one this morning, for the gospel that saves. Gloriously thankful this morning for the gospel that saves. Listen, if you're here this morning and you know Christ as Savior, there isn't a day that goes by that you can't be grateful instead of complaining. Now listen, I'm here at the very beginning to be very transparent. I'm not saying that I'm perfect on this every day. There are times when we all get down in the dumps. There are times when we all turn inward and we turn selfish and we begin to think about ourselves. But that's when we begin to think and look upon the temporal instead of the eternal. And that's when we need to get our hearts right with God. That's when we need to begin to thank God again. Number one, look at verse number 7. Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. Verse number 7 says, but we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It's what is spoken of in verses 3 through 6. But we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It is salvation. It is the gospel. It is the being born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Notice verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. He said, look, we're saved. We're born again. God saves us, even though we live in these wretched, fleshly, earthen vessels, so that He could show His power. Go back, hold your place here again, and go back to 1 Corinthians. We read the vast majority of chapter number 1. Look at chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we'll begin, we'll read verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, what did he say in verse 31? Let him that glory, glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Notice verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Number one this morning, gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. First of all, because of its power. Because of its power. We just read 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter number 1 and verse 16. Many of you might be able to quote it this morning. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." That's the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves because of its power. Look, Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross of Calvary and He shed His blood. He rose again 3 days later. That's the gospel. And the gospel has the power. The gospel saves. The gospel takes away our sin. The blood of Christ washes away our sin. It's nothing else. If you're here this morning and you've never had the blood of Christ applied to your life, you're lost. You're lost and undone without Christ. You say, "But Pastor, I'm a good person. Pastor, I give money in the offering plate. Pastor, I've been baptized. Pastor, I'm in church this morning." None of that matters. It's good. I hope you put money in the offering plate this morning. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm thankful for that this morning. But none of that merits favor with a holy God. The only thing that merits favor with a holy God is the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, dear friend, for those of us who know Christ and for those of us who are believers, we ought to be gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. And we begin to have a pity party for ourselves, or begin to think nobody cares about us, or even this, or begin to ask why. Stop asking why! Stop asking why things come in your life and just simply praise God for His grace. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did I have to go through that? Why did this happen in my life? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. By the way, have any of us gone through what the apostle... By the way, and I'm not trying to compare because it really doesn't matter. But have any of us gone through what the Apostle Paul went through? No. Have any of us been persecuted for our faith the way that the Apostle Paul had or was? No, but look what he says in verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction..." Paul? Light affliction? Brother, you were beaten. You were stoned. You were left for dead. You were shipwrecked and you call it a light affliction? Yeah. Because it was all for Christ. And boy, someone says something critical to us and we get our feelings hurt and we just want to quit. We start to go inward and start to feel a little pity for ourselves and we just want to hang it up on God. The Apostle Paul says, you know what, brothers? That's just a light affliction. Verse 15, he says, for all things are for your sakes. Hey, Corinthians, I do everything I do first and foremost for God, but I also do it for your sakes. I'm doing this so that you'll be saved. I'm doing this so that you'll grow. He says that the abundant grace, the grace that has been bestowed in my life, the grace that gives me the ability to continue to do what I do, that grace may be seen. And it may be, and God may be given thanks for that through the thanksgiving of many, redound. That word redound just means abound. It means to multiply. It means to be exceedingly abundant. He said that it may redound to the glory of God, gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves because of its power. Secondly, letter B, because of its pictures. P-I-T-C-H-E-R-S. The word used in verse number 7 is vessels. And when I read that, I get the idea of Gideon and his 300 men. They had the pictures and they had the light underneath that pitcher. And when Gideon shouted the sword of the Lord in Gideon, they broke the pitchers. And when the pitchers were broken, what shined forth? The light. You know what? When we get saved and we're broken, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines forth. By the way, you may be saved in here this morning. The light's not shining because you need to be broken this morning. Praise God that He uses us to give the gospel. That's what He's talking about in verses 3 through 6. That's not necessarily our message this morning. But in verses 3 through 6, Brother Buck preached in this passage a few weeks ago. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We're the ones that are supposed to shine. We're the ones that are supposed to glorify God in what we do in our lives. Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves because of its power. I can't do anything to save myself. And by the way, probably for any other people in this world, probably for Americans, that's the hardest thing to accept. Because Americans feel like we have to do something. And by the way, that's a good thing. But we feel like naturally we have to do something in order to get salvation. We don't. All we do is accept the payment that has already been paid for my sin. And that's the blood of Christ. And all I have to do is accept it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I asked earlier, do you believe the Word of God is true? Yes, we do. Okay, then Romans 10:13 is true. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. Number two, gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. Gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. Notice verse number 8. We are troubled on every side. By the way, I say grace which strengthens. Look, it's grace that saves us too. Grace is wrapped up in the gospel. Ephesians 2:8 speaks about the grace of God. It is, for by grace are you saved. It is God's unmerited favor. It is God looking on us and saying, you know what? They can't do anything for themselves. I'm going to be gracious to them. I'm going to send my Son to die for them. But grace also gives us the strength to do what we do. Gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. Verse number 8, we are troubled on every side. Here's the Apostle Paul. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. He gives us, first of all, the strength to persevere. He gives us the strength to persevere. Troubled, distressed, but not forsaken. Troubled, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He gives us the strength to persevere. Look, Paul lived at Calvary. He lived in light of Calvary. He lived for Calvary. Death and life were both manifested at Calvary. That's what he's speaking of in verse 10, 11, and 12. By the way, he's really speaking of what he says over in Philippians. He said, look, I want to know him. I want to know. Actually, let me just read it. Philippians chapter number 3. You don't have to go there. Let me read it real quickly. Philippians chapter number 3. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. See, today we want the salvation, but we don't want the suffering. No. That's part of it. We fellowship with his sufferings, being made conformable unto his, what's the word? Anybody know? Death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thankful for the grace which strengthens, it gives us the strength to persevere. Persecution, trouble, distressed. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm not distressed. I'm troubled, but I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. You ever perplexed about anything? I am all the time. People perplex me. Hey, our nation perplexes me. But you know what? I'm not in despair. People perplex me, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He gives us the strength. It is the grace of God that gives us the strength to persevere. And friend, this morning, I tell you, it is the grace of God that gives us the strength to continue on and to continue on and to continue on, no matter what comes in our lives, no matter the circumstances. The Apostle Paul said, look, I'm persecuted, I'm troubled, I am cast down, and I am all of those things, but I'm not going to stop. And it's the grace of God. It's not, oh man, boy, he's got something in him that makes him who he is. Yeah, it's Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not in despair. I'm not distressed. I'm not forsaken. Why? Because of verse 15. Because of the abundant grace of God that was bestowed into the life of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, bestowed into every one of our lives as well. And boy, things come. I've been reading through Job this past week once again. And boy, things come into our lives and we start asking why. I said that just a moment. We need to stop that. We need to stop asking why. We just need to start praising God and thanking God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you today that I'm not headed to hell. Thank you today that I can live an abundant Christian life. Thank you today that I can give your gospel because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And boy, we just sit around and ask why and ask why and ask why. And we start meditating and fixating upon the negative instead of fixating upon that which ought to give us a heart of thanksgiving. Number one, gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. Number two, gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. It gives us the strength to persevere. Secondly, it gives us the strength to preach. It gives us the strength to preach. What he says in verse number 13, he's quoting Psalm 116, verse number 10, in verse number 13. He says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And when he says according as it is written, that is written in Psalm 116, or excuse me, what comes next is written in Psalm 116, verse number 10. He said, I believe the psalmist David, just like the apostle Paul, is going through great distress, great persecution, great trouble. But notice what he says and notice what the apostle Paul says. I believed. I believe God. I believe what Jesus Christ has done. I believe who Jesus Christ is. I believe what Jesus Christ has called me to do. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Gives us the strength to persevere. It gives us the strength to preach. No amount of persecution would stop Paul from preaching what he knew to be true. And no amount of persecution, no amount of trouble, no amount of perplexion ought to cause us from preaching what we know to be true. I want to bring a message tonight as we get ready for the elections Tuesday. It's not going to be on a specific issue, but I'm going to bring a message tonight entitled Shore Up the Base. Shore Up the Base. And I'm going to talk to us a little bit about what has happened in our nation over the past several decades and really over the past couple of generations when it comes to the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't care how much persecution comes. I don't care how much the culture changed. I don't care how much people put pressure on me to preach something different. I don't care how much the Jews say that people must be circumcised in order to be saved. That's not true. And I'm only going to speak what's true. I don't care how much persecution comes. And therefore have I spoken. We also believe. By the way, I believe this. I believe this. And I'm going to keep speaking it until the Lord takes me home. No matter where I'm at, no matter whether it's here or somewhere else, I believe this, and until the Lord takes me home, until the Lord comes back or He drops me over dead, I'm going to keep speaking this. And I'm going to keep trying to help my children to understand it and to learn it and to pour it into their hearts. And I'm going to try to keep helping other children and other young people and other young couples and senior saints to know what this Bible says, because this is the only foundation upon which we have to stand and live in the day in which we live, any day in which we live. The strength to preach. Then thirdly, let her see the strength to praise. Verses 14 and 15, but in verse 15 he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Even when I am persecuted, even when I am troubled, even when I am cast down, I can still praise God because I'm doing it all for Him. And see, that's what makes the difference. If you're doing it for Him, you can still praise. If you're doing it for yourself or for someone else, when the trouble comes and when the going gets tough, you're not going to praise. You're going to start pitying. Woe is me. Nobody cares about me anymore. That's inward. That's self. Self is always going to lead you down a bad road. Turning inward and turning to self is always going to... By the way, I believe that's the root of much of what we call depression today. I'm not saying it's not real, but I'm saying for the child of God, who many who say they have depression, it's very simply because they've turned inward. I'm not saying it's not real. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying depression is not real this morning, but I do know that for many, when they get melancholy, and when they get down in the dumps, and when they don't want to come out of their house for weeks, and when they don't want to talk to anybody, and they don't want to do anything, it's because they've turned inward, and they've meditated upon their circumstances and upon what's going on, instead of gloriously thanking God. God, thank you for salvation. God, thank you for grace. God, thank you for the health that you've given me. God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for my church family. God, thank you for the nation that you allowed me to be born into. Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. Gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. By the way, you want to get out of the gloominess? Just start praising God. Just start making a list of things God has done for you. And first and foremost, salvation. Just start making a list. Salvation, my spiritual heritage, my family, my wife and my kids, my church family, the nation, my Bible. And boy, you can just go on and on and on and on. That's how we get out of it. It's when we start praising. Do you ever, and maybe you can, if you've ever seen an instance, let me know. But have you ever seen have we ever seen an instance of the Apostle Paul down in the dumps? Even when he was in prison? Not that I'm aware of. In Acts chapter number 16, he's chained in prison. And what's he doing at midnight? He's singing and praising God. God wants to hear you sing, amen? Do we sing or do we sulk? Do we praise God or do we pout? The strength to persevere. And by the way, it's God that gives us the grace to do that. It's God that gives us the grace to sing. It's God that gives us the grace to praise Him. It's God that gives us the grace to minister. It's God that gives us the strength to do all of that, even in the midst of circumstances. Because here's the truth, all of us go through stuff, don't we? We need His grace. But it's the grace that brings us through it. Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. Gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. Number three, He gives us the strength to persevere, preach, and praise. But number three, gloriously thankful for the guy who stays. The Apostle Paul was constantly, especially if you look in the book of Timothy, and we've preached through 1 and 2 Timothy before, but in both of those books, those pastoral epistles to the young pastor Timothy, in both of those, the Apostle Paul is constantly encouraging Timothy to do what? To stay. To stay. Hey, Timothy, Alexander and Hymenaeus, they're gone. Hey, Timothy, Hermogenes and Phygellus, they're gone. Hey, Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But Timothy, you stay. Timothy, you stay. Timothy, no matter the circumstances, no matter the persecution, no matter what comes in your life, stay. Gloriously thankful for the guy who stays, and specifically who I'm speaking of right here is Paul. Now, Paul's not praising himself in this passage at all. But the Apostle Paul is constantly telling others to stay, to stay, to stay, to stay at it, to keep serving, to stay at it, no matter the circumstances, no matter the persecution, no matter what anyone says about you, stay, stay, stay. And that's he could do that because that's what he did. He could tell Timothy to do that because that's what he did. Gloriously thankful for the guy who stays. And by the way, can I say this morning as a pastor, I'm gloriously thankful for the men and women who stay. And I'm not necessarily just talking about this place. That's not what I'm talking about this morning, although I'm extremely thankful for that. I'm just talking about Christian men and women, godly men and women, who just every day just get up and serve God, whether it's in this place, in this church, or whether it's in other churches like ours all across this nation and all across this world. I'm thankful for men and women who just get up every day and just stay. Just stay faithful. Just stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to His Word. Gloriously thankful for the guy who stays. Letter A, first of all, Paul stayed because of the promise. Paul stayed because of the promise. Look at verse 14, the promise of resurrection. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He speaks in verses 10, 11, and 12. He talks about death and he talks about life. He talks about the fact that always bearing about, verse number 10, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm always persecuted. I'm always being crucified. I bear that in my body, but I do that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Not only in my body, but also in your body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We're persecuted, but we're persecuted because of the life that we have. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. In verse 14, he says, look, it doesn't matter what happens to me, because I'm going to be raised again. The same God that raised up Jesus Christ is going to raise us up. By the way, isn't that what he taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15? Go home this afternoon and read the entirety of 1 Corinthians 15. That's what he's teaching them about the resurrection. Paul stayed because of the promise. You know what, friend? We can stay. And again, I'm not talking about staying in a specific place, although that's important. I'm talking about staying with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about staying in His service. I'm talking about staying faithful to Him. Paul stayed because of the promise. Paul stayed because of the people. Verse number 15, he said, "For all things are for your sakes. I do what I do because of you, Corinthians." Notice verse number 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your" what? Anybody there? Your what? Servants. Your servants for Jesus' sake. Your servants for Jesus' sake. Gloriously thankful for the guy who says, "Hey, let me say something, young people. Young men in here today, one of these days you're going to have the opportunity to stay or go. By God's grace, I pray that you'll stay. Because our church and churches all over this nation like ours need young men who are going to come up behind the older men and who are going to stay. Who are going to stay faithful, who are going to make a decision. I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be a good daddy. I'm going to be most of all just a good Christian. I'm going to stay faithful to my local church. I'm going to love my pastor. I'm going to support my church. I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul stayed because of the promise. Because let me ask you, if you don't stay, what's going to happen? Places like this are going to close up. Because I'm going to be gone one day. I've lived more life than I probably have left. These young men, everything being equal, have way more life than they have lived. That young lady has way more life. Everything being equal, she has way more life left than she has lived. These young men back here have way more life left than they have lived. It's up to them what's going to happen. Stay. Gloriously thankful for the guy, girl, man, woman who stays. Paul stayed because of the promise. Paul stayed because of the people. "I do this for you." What did he say in 2 Corinthians 12:15? We're not even going to go there. What did he say there? Anybody remember? We reference it often. "I will very gladly" what? "Spend and be spent." That was the Apostle Paul. He stayed because of the people. Number 3, letter C, he stayed because of his perspective. Notice verse number 16. We're almost done. Just stay with me. We're almost done. Verse 16. "For which cause we faint not." We faint what? Not. We faint. You know what that? You know what has perplexed me over these past 7 months? I'm just going to be honest with you. Christians who have fainted. It's no time to faint. It's no time to quit. It's time to pick up the sword and fight like never before. It's no time to faint. It's no time to stop. It's no time to stop blaming, start blaming God for anything. Do you think this caught God off guard? Are you kidding me? But boy, Christians just fainting. Talked to a pastor last Sunday, talked to the pastor. And he asked me, we were getting ready to walk out the door. He asked me, he said, "How's your church doing?" I said, "It's doing great." He said, "Have most of your people come back?" I said, "The vast majority of them have." And he said, "I still have a whole lot that haven't." Why? Why? Now, I understand there are some that have legitimate physical conditions and they need to stay away. I get that. But that's not everybody. That's not everybody. And the Apostle Paul, he said, "Look, you can persecute me, you can cast me down, you can trouble me on every side, but I'm not going to faint." He says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish," persecutions, beatings. He said, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That's the key. The outward man can be perplexed. The outward man can be persecuted. But the inward man, the spirit, is renewed day by day through and in the Word of God. He said, we're renewed day by day. For our light affliction, there's perspective. For our light affliction. Yeah, some people, they get an ingrown toenail and they can't come to church for a month. Are you serious? Apostle Paul says, this is a light affliction. I guarantee you, if we had the opportunity to see the body of the Apostle Paul, it would break our heart. The bruises and the scars that he had in and on his body because of his faith, because of preaching the gospel. And he said, it's just a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And by the way, look what he says. And even that, it's just for a moment, it's a light affliction, but it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul stayed because of his perspective. The perspective that, hey, God gets all the glory, God's going to get the thanksgiving, and because of that, he's going to get more and more and more glory. It's just a light affliction. It's just for a moment. And the weight of the glory, it's exceeding, is going to be greater than anything I ever go through, because Paul was constantly looking at the eternal instead of the temporal. And as we've gone through what we've gone through over the past 6 or 7 months, the vast majority of Christians that I hear speak, all they're concerned about is getting back to normal. And I understand what they're saying. I do too. I want to get back where when you walk by somebody and you're not wearing a mask and they are, they just jump away from you. Okay, I want to get past that. But I don't want to get back to normal spiritually. I don't want to get back to normal where church is just, if I feel like it, I go. If there's something better, then I won't go. I don't want to get back to that normal. And Paul had a perspective of the eternal. You know what? Paul wasn't worried about money, because God took care. We worry about money all the time, don't we? It's important to take care of our families. It's important to be wise. I get all that. But we think about money too much. Instead of just letting God take care. Instead of looking on the eternal. What does Matthew 6 say? It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, if my treasure is in heaven, that's where my heart's going to be. If my treasure is on earth, if I've put the tent stakes, if I've beaten them deep into this world, that's where my treasure is. And that's what I think about all the time. I don't think about the eternal. I don't think about souls that need to be saved. I don't think about giving the way I ought to give. I think about hoarding. I think about what stuff I can buy and what's this next toy I can buy. And what can I do here instead of what missionary can I give to? What evangelist can I help? Paul stayed, and this is the key, because of his perspective. We can either praise or we can pout. We can either glory or we can gripe. We can either get busy ministering or we can stay at home and mope. Paul stayed because of his perspective. Let me give you these last two real quickly. Paul stayed because of the prize. Paul stayed because of the prize. We read that in Philippians chapter number 3. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then letter E, he stayed, most importantly, because of a person. Verse number 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death. For whose sake? For Jesus' sake. Verse number 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Not to His glory, not to some church's glory, not even to the convert's glory. No, but to the glory of God. Gloriously thankful for the gospel that saves. Gloriously thankful for the grace which strengthens. Dear friend, it is His grace. The Apostle Paul, what he is saying in verse 15 is, look, it is the grace of God that allows me to go through the persecution, that allows me to go through being cast down, that allows me to go through the troubles. It is God's grace. And when you see me manifesting the grace of God, then you're going to thank God, and that's going to give Him the glory. Gloriously thankful for a grace that strengthens. Gloriously thankful for the guy who stays. Stay. Stay. Change your perspective this morning. Start thanking God and giving Him the glory and saying, you know what, everything I do for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His people. And then just stay. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You that it is true, that it endures forever. And Father, I'm thankful that we have that word to stand upon today. What a foundation. Father, I pray that if there's one here today that has never received, taken part of the gospel, that gospel that saves, I pray that today they'll be saved. Father, I pray that they would not be forever lost and headed to a devil's hell and be eventually, as Revelation 20 tells us, eventually cast into the lake of fire. I pray that they'll be saved today. Father, I pray for the believer who needs to be strengthened today. I pray that they have seen that it's Your grace that gives us the strength to do anything we do, whether it's to persevere, whether it's to praise, whether it's to preach. Father, it is Your grace. And Father, I pray that You'd help us as believers just to be godly men and godly women who stay faithful to You. No matter where they're at, no matter the place they may be at, no matter the geographical location, Father, we're just going to stay faithful and grateful and in service to You, Lord. I pray that there might be some young men, some young ladies that would make that commitment this morning, just in the quietness of the moment, to say, Lord, I don't know what You're going to bring my way in the days ahead, but Father, I just want to be a young man who stays. Father, I just want to be a young lady who stays faithful to You. Father, help us this morning in Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's going to begin to play. Listen, if the Lord, the Holy Spirit worked in your heart today, would you do business with Him today? If you're here and you don't know Christ, would you come? If death were to take you today, you have no confidence that heaven would be your home, would you come? Would you let someone take the Bible and walk you through, so that when you leave this place today, you have full assurance of your salvation, of your eternal destination? Hey, believer, how is it with you this morning? Are you gloriously thankful this morning for the gospel that saves, for the grace that strengthens, for your fellow church members who just stay, for the men and women that you fellowship with on a weekly basis who just stay faithful to God Almighty? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock as we preach. Shore up the base. How many of you have already voted? Oh, wow, it's a good number. How many of you haven't? I guess that's the better. Make sure you vote Tuesday. And make sure you vote as righteous as you possibly can. By the way, don't believe the polls. Man, those polls are so wrong. I'm telling you, they are. They're so wrong. Make sure you go vote and be here tonight. And I think what we're going to preach tonight is going to help us. It's not going to be on a specific issue. It's just going to be on something I think will help us in the days ahead as we go forward. And so please be back tonight. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Look forward to seeing you back tonight, 5 o'clock for choir practice. Brother Jackie Moore, would you pray for us, please?